that does not allow them to come. But nevertheless, there was not such thing that we need them, because they presented their case to the committee. I think we have to start. Let me say this meeting is official open. Secretary, are there any apologies?
Good morning, everyone. Chair, I haven't received any apologies.
Thank you. Where is the agenda? Did members get the agenda? Follow up? Yes. Members, we have got only one item in the agenda. It's a continuation of the Sikoko petition hearing. Petition seeking the intervention of the NCOP in relation to the alleged cover-up by the Public Service Commissioner regarding reported irregularities, maladministration, fraud, poor working conditions, and victimization of employees within Khayelitsha District Hospital. This is our agenda for today. You remember this is the third hearing of this. The committee invited the MEC, Norma French, and the committee invited managers and directors who are cited in this petition. We didn't get a response, but the MEC, Norma French, and the head of department, who they said the committee doesn't have powers to invite them to account, to come and account. And we several tried to talk to them again the second time. They also come up with the legal opinion. Our legal department within parliament, they come up with their own legal opinion, and therefore we decided as a committee to, if you remember last time, that no, let's use the powers and privileges of the committee to subpoena them. We did as it is, and the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces signed the petition, subpoena or summons, and also the parliament, acting secretary of parliament, signed that, and the legal department instructed the state attorney to appoint a sheriff. That sheriff must serve those summons to all those people who are supposed to come here. Late yesterday, actually I was phoned sometime that no, the first summons, they said they were late. Now these ones, the state attorney said no, they are going to defend them. When I asked, how can the state attorney defend the individuals? And it was wumbling. I spoke to our chief or senior legal advisor in parliament, and he was also confused, because the same state attorney is one who's appointed a sheriff to issue summons to those people, but all of a sudden he comes back to me saying that he is defending that. When I phoned the state attorney who was signing this defense, I phoned the state attorney who signed the defense. The lady, Ms. Fantantra, said I was forced to sign. And I signed this under duress. I can be put on record that I was forced. Because I was asking the same question, that how can the state defend the individual, yet we're receiving the instructions from the state asking the state attorney to issue summons to individuals, the officials, all of them to come and account. So, come again. Oh, you're quite right. You're quite right. No, thank you, thank you, thank you. I took for granted that we're all almost we're here. Let me start from me. My name is Dumisani Ximbi. On video? No. I don't think it's allowed in Parliament. No. You cannot take photos. You cannot record. We've got our own record in Parliament. Is it on? Where is the technician? Because I think it's live, eh?
Yes, I think so.
It's live. So you have got no right to take photos if you're in Parliament. You know, those are the rules of Parliament. Who recording that? Who's recording? Who? Who? Myself? The question is allowed to record. Oh, okay, I understand. I don't think it's allowed. The legal will be with us now, but I think if you think that you are right, because we don't have rules here now. Do you have advocate? But okay, if it's you are doing that because we don't have rules, we cannot say no, we cannot say yes. But what I know, the rule that we are not supposed to take pictures. I don't know about recording. Because we've got recording things. This thing is live in 408. It's public, yes. So we can record it. I think we can proceed with recording. We'll take it from there because it's an open, as you said, so it's an open thing. But what I know in Parliament, we have not allowed to take pictures. That's what I know, that rule. I don't know about recording because there are those phones today. You can record even if somebody didn't see you. You put your phone in record. So, Karen, because we aren't hiding anything for that matter. Yes, we're waiting for him to come. Yeah, he promised to come. The senior one who was on this case, working on this case. Come again? To wait there. Thank you very much. Let's wait for them. Maybe I'll give the report when he's here, and maybe he's going to explain about these summons and what happened. And I will explain my part, what I did. Thank you. Let's allow the... You remember there was a query last time about the labor. When we asked, when we said we send the labor to go to verify, to check or inspect what's going on about reports that were coming from Khayelitsha. And members were not happy because inspectors come and say, no, we check about buildings and other things. They never talk about the labor relations like unfair dismissals and other things which were submitted. And they said, no, that is not their duty. Now, today we call advocate from labor to explain their rules within the labor. And we expected the bargaining council, where they said they referred things to bargaining to come in here, but unfortunately we didn't get any response from them. I think advocate and inspector, let's give that chance to you, just to explain to the members, how far are you with, because we were here, you said you are going to help us, we were here in the first hearing. Yes, honourable member.
I am a bit confused, Chair. Because I thought that you stop a little bit the meeting so that
you can clarify to
we must get clarity on that one. Yeah. So I thought that you stop, maybe stop to have some tea and all that.
Thank you very much. Members, if you feel like that, let's break for about 10 minutes. Get coffee and come back. Thank you very much. Can get a cup of coffee. Before, because there are members who join us or officials who join us, I think it would be wise that let's introduce ourselves to know who is who, who is here in this House of Assembly. Members, my name is Dumisani Ximbi. I'm the chairperson of this committee, which is Petition and Executive Undertakings. And I'm a permanent delegate representing the Western Cape. Thank you. On this side from the members.
Kunede Matime is my name, permanent delegate, member of this committee from Limpopo.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Gladys Oliphant, permanent delegate of this committee. I'm representing Northern Cape.
Thank you very
Chairperson, thank you very much. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bronwyn Engelbrecht, representing Gauteng. I just want to make it very clear that I'm sitting in this committee in protest, as I feel that the chairperson is overreaching his authority, as this whole petition is illegal and goes against the recommendations and the guidelines of our own committee. This petition has been seen by several, by the Public Service Commission, and has been seen, has already been seen by companies and court cases, which we are not authorized to intervene. So you are absolutely, chairperson, going against the guidelines of this petition, and you're going outside the mandate. So I am here in I'm just here to say that, and I will not be part of this, because you are an absolutely disgrace to this parliament. You are a disgrace to the constitution. You are a disgrace to the democracy of this country and what we stand for.
Ma'am, you must mind your words. First of all, we have got a legal advice here. We call the legal advice to advise this committee about the sitting of this committee.
Chairperson, you don't even know your own rules. This is an open public meeting. I am allowed to copy any recording of this meeting. You don't even know your own rules. It is shocking.
That's why we call the legal advice.
I will be leaving. Thank you.
Chair, this is a meeting. I don't understand. This parliament is having petitions, and this is a petition that come to us. Is it because of Western Cape? The petition is in Western Cape. Now we need to chase it away because it's in Western Cape. Our provinces are all faulty. The 8 provinces are faulty. This clean province, we cannot now do the work in Western Cape because they are clean.
No, thank you, Honourable Member. Yeah, and Doctor?
Chairperson, our title is Honourable. That's our title. And I would like it to be on record. The words used here about the chair, not at all honorable. That must be on record. And we are leaders of society. The nation is looking up to us. And we must behave accordingly, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, all members. Actually, we were introducing ourselves. I don't know why now he's coming up with Honorable Engelbrecht. I think she is out of order. Thank you very much. Can we go around to introduce ourselves?
Good morning. My name is Abdurrahman Edinson. I was the former HR manager for Khayelitsha District Hospital.
I'm representing myself as a witness. I've been witness for the previous two NCOP meetings and also a member of NAHAU.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Felicia Lombard. I'm the Communications Officer for this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Mzandile Ngokwana. I'm from Parliamentary Monitoring Group, PMG. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. My name is Michael Ngwali from Office of the Chairperson, and I'm a researcher in that office.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Sivu Njikela. I'm from the Legal Services.
My name is Tibor Sana. I'm the Chief Inspector for Occupational Health and Safety employed by the Department of Labour. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Malikol Ntleki. I'm the Head of the Director General's Office in the Department of Labour.
Good morning. My name is Tasneem Siddhas. I'm the researcher to this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Eric Nyagamba. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry of Labour.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Chris Makobutiti. I work for ITIT. I'm the PLO. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. The question was that members can allow to record using their recorders within the house. Actually, we're waiting for the legal advice on that. And the legal advice can also help us on that. Then we proceed. Thank you.
Chair, I may need a little bit of a context to the question. I assume that I was here to explain the legal proceedings that we've been involved in. But what I can say off-cuff now is that committees are open meetings, generally, unless the chairperson makes a decision that it is not an open meeting. So I'm not sure what is the context to the question that you are raising with me, because I was just confronted with the question now. And I don't want to hazard an answer, Chairperson. We may need the time to reflect on it a little bit.
When we check the rules, as you said so, the rules say that they can, as you said, so they, everybody have got a right to record that. But one, to be clear, as you know, that we're in a dilemma of legal things today in the our committee. So want to be clear on that. So members, as I said, that you can proceed till we get something from legally that you can say, no, you can't. As you said, so I don't have a problem with people recording. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, photos may not be made around here of members. That one, I'm sure of, there's a precedence to that. Now, the recording. I don't know whether maybe the rules should be revisited or not, because the photo shows who I am. My voice also does the same. The voice, recorded voice, tells who is talking. So if photos are not allowed, and then the recording, etc., and the impact. My concern is this. it has the potential to inhibit proper debate. I think that's what, as South Africans, I know our democracy is growing, is evolving, is maturing. But I think we must appreciate the fact that this recording has the potential to inhibit debate in the meeting, because you don't know what that information is going to be used for. And our protection, we are protected for as long as we are within the precinct. Now, once I'm out in the street, I don't know whether the rules go that far to say what I said on the precinct of parliament will not be used against me when I'm in Checkers. Members often say, let's go outside. Which means that when you're outside, you're vulnerable. So that little background to indicate to the gentleman where our consent comes from. Secondly, Chairperson, if the conscience of the Honorable Member was very clear, she was sure that what she's doing is right, I think she should be sitting here by now. Thank you. She's out.
Honorable Oliphant.
Chair, thank you. Chair, everything goes with respect. If I am having a respect where I come from, I will come to you and say, Chair, can I please record this conversation of this meeting? And you will say yes or no on what basis. Why I am against that recording is because the provincial people of this province doesn't want to come see us. But on the background, they are getting the news in the meeting. So that is why I am totally against the recording, because if they didn't get the news, they should have come. They are also undermining us. That is why they can send people to come and protest in this meeting. So even the law can say, yes, we are recording and what. But now if we are recording, are we recording the proper thing? Because when things is burning, we will say, let's go to Hansard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you for those contributions on this. I think let me proceed and finish and give it this and handing over to the legal advice first before I give it to the Department of Labour. I'm trying to find out that after I receive these summons defending these individuals that were issuing summons against, I phoned the attorney who signed this. She said to me, put me on record that I signed this thing under duress. And it was a directive from above, because I asked the question, how can we defend the individuals? And he also mentioned that, how can you, state attorney, appointing a sheriff, then you decided to defend again those people that you appointed the sheriff to come and account. So he said I was very confused. But because of the directive, I signed that put me on record. You are shooting a messenger. He said so in her words. Nevertheless, now we received this morning a motion. What is a motion that we are not supposed to call? Is it sort of an interdict that we are not supposed to call, force them to come here? They are undermining. They said we have got no powers, and so there are a lot of things saying that we are not elected, citing a lot of things, but they didn't mention in their summons, in this interdict. They talk about the head of Department of Health. Yet we're talking about Dr. Engelberg and Dr. Norma French, not the department. Never called the department here. We call, and we had members, managers from KDH up to the HOD to come and account to this committee. But we get. But now I will hand over to the legal advice. It was Mr. Njigela. We're working together in this thing. And to me, I don't know, maybe the members, I see the conflict of interest in this. As I said, thank you. Let me not come. Can you explain to the members what's going on, what is supposed to be done? And yeah, sure, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm sure members are aware of the history to this, but I think it's important that I just go back a little bit to explain where we come from and how we got to this point. The committee had in the past invited the Department of Health in the Western Cape to appear before the committee. The Department of Health has expressed an opinion that they do not believe that this committee has the power to call them to appear before it. And for that conclusion, they had relied on a legal opinion, which they apparently sourced from a senior counsel. We haven't had sight of the opinion, but they have quoted quite extensively from the opinion. And that opinion is the basis of them not being willing to appear before the committee. The chairperson requested us to advise on what is our view on the position that the province has taken. We gave an opinion which clearly is at odds with what the province seems to believe. Our view is the Constitution and the rules of Parliament give the committee an open mandate to receive petitions and to call to account all the officials who may have to answer. That power is clear in the Constitution, is not limited to legislative matters, as the province seems to suggest. And that was our view to the committee that we advised the chairperson on. But then, subsequent to that, summons were issued. In the first instance, the difficulty that the province had with the summons was the late serving, because the summons were served a day before the date of the appearance. Summons were reissued on Friday for an appearance today. Again, the province had difficulty with that, because fundamentally they believe that you do not have the power to call them to appear before this committee. And as a result of that, they issued an application to court to interdict the committee from enforcing that summons. Now, that was yesterday. We received the papers in the course of the day yesterday. We were supposed to be in court by 17:30 last night. I have had discussions with the chairperson, and we have come to a conclusion that the committee is not prevented from proceeding with the meeting, even in the absence of the province, to make conclusions and to make recommendations based on the evidence that has already been tendered before the committee. The province has been given an opportunity not once, not twice, to appear before this committee to state their view. And for their own reason, they have chosen not to appear. Whether we have the power to summon them to appear before the committee is the matter that still has to be determined by a court, because clearly there is a difference between Parliament and them in terms of the powers of the committee. So what has happened yesterday was that we have come to an agreement that the committee will proceed today on the basis of the information that is available to the committee to conclude its discussions and make its recommendations based on the available information. The matter that the province has taken to court will be postponed sine die, in other words, without a date. So we still have to go to court to discuss and debate the issue of whether we have the power or not. So that is the present arrangement, that the committee can proceed. The issue of whether we have the power or not, we will want to go to court and explain what Parliament understands to be its powers in as far as this issue is concerned. So we are far from the end of the matter. And I think, Chair, that's the long and the short of it. And that's where we are now.
Thank you very much. Members, this is the story. And I'm ashamed with that she left. She didn't understand what's supposed to be done today. Thank you. Over to you, Dr. Mandela.
Yeah. Chairpersons, guilty consciences behave like this. So, I am very much encouraged by the conclusion that life must go on. Life must go on. Let's go on with our work. Maybe they are banking on the fact that the fifth parliament is rising, the sixth parliament will come, maybe start from scratch. But we got records. We got records. And what's written is written. So this issue will continue for the good of the people of Khayelitsha, Chairperson. For the good of the people of Khayelitsha. So I would suggest we go on with our work. Yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Member. We still have a time that we can come just to adopt, because I think next week we are closing on the 28th. Even on the 28th, morning on the 28th, we can come adopt the resolution and a recommendation of this committee. You are quite right, sir. We'll take recommendation. We're just giving them a time to come and say, no, we know this, we don't know this. Otherwise, the committee is going to conclude and this work and recommend to the council to take those recommendations if they will vote for. Thank you. Yes, Honourable.
My question to my brother there, but through you, I understand if there is an affidavit. Affidavit must now finish in court, because affidavit is a court thing, and it must finish in court. To you people must talk the differences to clear, so that the magistrate must be able to understand what is happening, why the affidavit is there. Now, is there no court? There was yesterday a court date for the affidavit.
Interdict, not to proceed, not to call them to come to court, to the meeting. That's protecting them.
Yeah, because now it's fair, Chair. It's very fair, because all of us who is using the government things, the government money, we need to account. So it means the Western Cape is so smart that they cannot be called. And they are above the constitution of this country. They are above the president, because The Honorable Maimane is the president and finish and clear. So no one else and no one else. Is that how it is working? But if I was the legal team, I should have clipped them really, 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 because we are undermined. We are really being undermined, and we are undermined by this, because when the story started before, when you go to Khayelitsha Hospital, you were fluke like you were fluking. This woman is not, I told you, Chair, sorry to point you with the fingers. Sorry to point you with the, I told you, tell this woman you're not his wife.
Honourable member, I say it's not a woman, it's an honourable member.
The honourable member there, but you're not his husband. That you must garam and disrespect you.
Thank you, members. Thank you very much. Let's not waste time. Let's give the opportunity to the labour just to explain the how to do those things according to labour. Because I found that last time members were not happy about the chief inspector. The members were not happy about the chief inspector. And that's why we come back to you, advocate, at least to give a clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the honorable members as well for the opportunity. I must first apologize to the Chairperson and the honorable members for not wearing a tie. It's not a sign of disrespect from my side. It's just an oversight. I thought I pegged one, and I realized I don't have... honorable members, we were actually privileged as the department because we were invited to sit, I think, at the beginning of this these hearings to listen to the complaints from the Khayelitsha hospital officials. And we looked at the matter, and this matter is twofold. It borders on two issues. As we were listening to the complaints, there's an issue which was raised in relation to health and safety. There were allegations made in relation to unfair labor practice or conduct by the employer towards the employees. Then there was an element of non-compliance with occupational health and safety acts and regulations. You notice I said not alleged, no longer alleged anymore, because we have proven that they are not compliant with certain elements of the legislation. It's one part. So the allegations of unfair labor practice or conduct by the employer, they remain not proved. Now, it comes back to us as the Department of Labor, specifically the role that the Department of Labor has to be has to play in this regard. We as the Department of Labor, we operate through the inspectors. We have an inspectorate section which has inspectors in this regard. These inspectors are creatures of statute. They are created by law. They are appointed in terms of Section 63 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. There are certain functions which they have to do. And now they have to operate within a specific legal framework. Now, you in the labor relations platform, there are separate things that people do. For example, now we'll have dispute resolution element, which is relevant in this case, because some of the issues that are raised are in relation to unfair labor practice. Now, there are different platforms which deal with this, or different institutions which deal with unfair labor practice matters, which the inspectors are limited. They are, in fact, not even limited. They cannot be involved in labor unfair labor practice dispute or try to resolve them, because there are specific institutions, such as the bargaining council, the health Department of Health, or the sector itself has a specific bargaining council that deals with such matters, because they've got a specific dispute resolution mechanism which is designed or agreed upon by the people who operate within that sector. It's actually called the Public Health and Social Development Sector Bargaining Council. Once there is a council, bargaining council, then the Department of Labor's involvement is limited. Now, that's where the limitation comes in. Now, that's where the chief inspector comes in, because he only dealt, when he went to Khayelitsha Hospital, he only dealt with the part where he has actually jurisdiction to operate under, which is the health and safety, because that one is open for him. There's no other institution out there that can actually operate or exercise those powers except the inspectors under the chief inspector. So that's why he went to health and to Khayelitsha Hospital, and only focused on the portion of the health and safety issues which were raised by the members. The other elements, they fall within the bargaining council. The inspectors have no powers actually to go into Khayelitsha, and because the inspectors, they operate, there's a legal document which initiates any process for labor inspectors. It's called the compliance order. Even if they were to find that the employer is not complying with certain areas, they will not be able to issue that compliance order, because there's a collective agreement which has a specific dispute mechanism, a dispute resolution mechanism, which now, if you have a dispute as an employer in that sector, as an employee in that sector, you have to refer the matter to the bargaining council. Then a dispute is declared. In fact, the process starts with the employer first. You submit your grievance. From your grievance, it gets investigated. Once it's investigated, then the outcome, it's either it's resolved or it remains unresolved. If it remains unresolved, it's referred to the executive authority, which is the minister. The minister then takes a decision and say, look, I concur with the decision or the outcome of the investigation. This matter remains unresolved. Then the matter will be referred to the bargaining council by the employee, because it's given a clear go-ahead that you can refer this matter to any platform that may resolve it. That's how the process works. In all of that, in that process, the labor inspectors are not involved. They are actually not mandated in terms of the law to be involved in that process, because there are these institutions which are created to actually deal with those matters. And one of these institutions is a CCMA. I've seen it as well in our department, where employees refer matters to the Public Service Commission. You have an issue as an employee, you think you're being treated unfairly, you can also report the matter to the Public Service Commission. They dispatch their investigator, they investigate the matter, they make recommendations to the department, then the department has to implement those recommendations made by the Public Service Commission. That's another institution which is out there. There's also a labor court. After all the processes have been followed, then the employee can refer the matter to the labor court. Then the labor court rules on the matter, whether for the employee or for the employer. So that's how it works. So it made it difficult for us as Department of Labor to be involved in the issue of the labor, unfair labor practice or conduct of the employer in that sense, because we do not have powers to actually investigate what is happening in Khayelitsha. However, we do not send people away when they come to us for help. We advise them which process they must follow in order to get their matters to the relevant institution. For example, in this regard, it would be important to check whether they referred the matter to the bargaining council, whether they referred some of the matters to the Public Service Commission for their involvement in the resolution of the matters at hand. That's why now we had to produce the report to the committee, which talks to only inspection of the building. We did the inspection. I will ask, the chief inspector did come the last committee sitting, and he presented his report. That's when the misunderstanding was picked up, that you did not go to Khayelitsha to do what we expected you to do. You went there to inspect buildings. We're expecting you to inspect what is reported by the employees or the officials coming from that institution in terms of the unfair labor practice which is happening in Khayelitsha.
If I may ask a question, you instructed the inspectors, as you were here in the first hearing, instructed the inspectors, why don't you also refer this to what do you call it, this council. Thank you. And council also, because we were here, I think we're supposed to say, okay, inspector, you go there, then I can take this, refer to the bargaining council, because members didn't know that this thing's supposed to go to bargaining council. They said they were happy when you were invited here, and petitioners explain everything. Honorable Oliphant?
Chair, it will be a yes. People who know safety must talk about those things, unless they have just been given a number and address to go to the certain offices, so that they must talk and say, I have seen 1, 2, 3. But if they are taking it to the bargaining council, it's a yes, Chair. And I wanted to find out about that building that has burnt at Khayelitsha, because they were the people who were supposed to tell us, what did they see? Is it safe to use this building while burnt?
Thank you. I've got that question, and Honorable Fund has also this question. But I think the chief inspector did explain table thing, but you have got a right to also to explain again to the members that what happened in your... Actually, you are going to give a report for the second time, and so, yes, I think he presented his report last time. That's why we had a query that, yes, you talk about other things, you don't talk about dismissals, unlawful dismissals and other things, but you... You can summarize now your report. Advocate, I'm just asking that question, that now the inspector did their own, but we are not aware as a committee that we need also call the bargaining. I think on that day you were here, we thought that you have said, this one, I'm going to take it to bargaining chamber. This one, we can do it with through our inspectors. Can you tell?
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, with that, the short answer would be no, we did not refer the matter to the bargaining council for the following reasons. Because there is a process which is prescribed by the bargaining council in terms of how matters are referred to them. Now, there are certain forms that have to be filled in, just like the CCMA, and must be submitted, served to the employer, and then the employer is given a date for a hearing, and then a hearing will sit, and then just like in a normal court.
Also, advocate, you were here in the committee. Those people, when we're here, we're talking about the stakeholders to come and answer about general things, not about some. I know some would want to appear to or ask bargaining council and all those things. We're talking about now stakeholders like you in the labor. How can the bargaining council not supposed to call and hear what is the problem around the... We know the procedure. We know the process of individual. But I'm telling you that this is a case that people are receiving, even from bargaining chamber, bargaining council, where they send people and those people didn't represent bargaining council accordingly. If I can tell you, in Cape Town, I went there and observed myself in one of the cases where the... With this, what do you call it, commissioner. I can quote that commission is coming on the Western Cape as an advocate. And that commissioner, the first day when this person went there, and I went to observe, first day when he saw the charges of this person, and she said, no man, these charges doesn't make sense. Can you give us an hour, some 10 minutes, I want to phone the department. We went out. He called the department, 10 minutes over. We came back again. This lady said, she said, I'm sorry, you know this department is big. I can't get somebody that I want from the department. Do you know this person? It's you've got a problem with the department. Then he said, can you go out for an hour? We went out for an hour, and her recorder was not open. And we went out of about an hour. When we came back again after an hour, is when she opened up the recorder, And you know, the department sent a labor officer to represent a state labor officer to represent the employer. And this labor office is a Nihau. Then, therefore, after that, and this man came and said, no, we are not prepared for this case. We don't have documents and all those things. We want to postpone this case. And after that, the advocate came back, said, okay, what do you say? Your names, you open up now the recorder. Your names and all things. And brother, and I was there with other members as an observer. And we told them, no, we're just coming to observe what, okay? After that, he said, you said you want to postpone it. He said, yes. Now, then they agreed with the Nihau representative and this, but that, no. Okay, we'll postpone it. And this representative said, we want to postpone because we want to talk to the accused or the respondent or the applicant, yes, the applicant. Maybe we can sort this thing amicably. So he said, okay, you can go back, sort the things, and you call me. But if you didn't sort it, on such and such a date, we'll come back and we'll sort it. Then we just close up. But what I'm trying to say, just a commissioner to call a department, talk to the department alone. You see, this is a bargaining now. Call the department alone. Come the second hearing, and the commission was like torturing the applicant. Doesn't even allow her to drink water. It doesn't even, we're like slaves, even myself. If I'm just taking a paper, what are you doing? Sit down. Just like that. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. We're two members of parliament. And when he recorded in the register, she said we are members of the ANC, and we told her that we are members of parliament. This is bargaining. That bargain is not here today. No, when I'm talking about this, I'm trying to explain why we want bargaining. Not, I know the process of going to MCCMA and applying to the bargaining to be represented. Those people did it, but they treated unfairly because they are coming from Western Cape. They are coming from Cape Town. I can assure you about that. And why one commissioner for all cases? For example, that man, that one, he's supposed to go to the hearing, and the same commissioner was in an accident, and everything stopped because they are using one commissioner who is the lawyer here. In the Western case, that's the thing that we need about them. That is my presentation to you. Not saying that, because I thought that if we said there's an illegal thing, you're supposed to say, let's call the bargaining to come, not a commissioner. You are talking about when sending things to the commissioner, don't the bargaining, the Institute.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's what I was referring to, not necessarily the officials of the bargaining council. I'm talking about the institution itself, the bargaining council. I was making reference in terms of the process because it's the same process that is used by the CCMA. They use the same process as well because it's a platform which duplicates the CCMA, but for the public sector, specifically the sector, the health sector and social development. So they operate the same. But I agree with the Chairperson that I think what will assist us in this regard is for the committee to invite the bargaining council to come to the office bearers of the bargaining council to come to the committee like we came to the committee as the Department of Labor so that they can explain to the committee, what is it that has been done in relation to resolving the matters which are emanating from the Khayelitsha, all those that have been referred to the committee. If there are delays, why there are delays in resolving those matters in that regard? Because we, from our side, we won't be able to speak for them because process. That process stays, it's independent, it stays with them. And we are not an oversight for them in that regard. So it's difficult to speak in their processes in that regard. But I was just trying to explain our difficulty in being involved in their processes and resolving specifically the unfair labor practice matters as the Department of Labor. But we are willing to pledge our assistance to in terms of maybe now to actually also ask the bargaining council from our side what is it or which cases have been referred by the Khayelitsha officials from their side and what is it that has been done. Because also that falls within our mandate as a Department of Labor, that ours is to protect vulnerable workers, irrespective of where they're sent, whether they are public or private. As long as you're an employee, we have an interest in the matter. Hence, we keep on coming when we're invited by the committee to come here, despite our limitations in terms of enforcement.
Advocate, you are clear. I don't know whether the members, I think it's clear to me. Let me give the opportunity to Chief Inspector, just to summarize, because you have been here, and advocate, make us to understand exactly your roles within this thing. Thank you very much. Just summarize it, because we have been here.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. The last time I was here, there was quite a bit of discussion around the fire issue and the electricity side of things. And we do have a mandate in terms of the electricity aspect, in terms of our legislation. So what we did was I requested the inspectors to go back to Khayelitsha and to go and have a look at the issue around the fire. There was what we call an approved inspection authority, specifically on the electrical side, who had gone out and who had indicated via a report called the Certificate of Compliance that the installation is safe for use. And with the chairperson's permission, we can forward a report with regard to that inspection, which I'll send to Advocate Ntleki to forward to yourself, Chairperson. But as far as the inspection goes post the last meeting, we have gotten confirmation from a person that is a professional or an expert in its field on the electrical side to look at the electrical installation, and apparently it has been declared safe in terms of a certificate of compliance, which is a requirement. Thank you, Chair.
Around members, anyone want to pose a question or clarity to Inspector? Yes, Honourable Member. Okay.
Chair, I think I'm fine.
Okay.
Because it's not the labor that I want. Mm. It's the provincial that I want. Mm. They must just give me the report. They do the report as everyone. But I only want the provincial data. Them I want it wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mani?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With regard to the fire issue, the inspection or the electricity compliance, I've seen a letter issued by the fire chief, where there were about seven or nine points on that letter indicating non-compliance by the institution. And there was due dates that these things were supposed to be fixed or corrected because of non-compliance, and it was never done by the due date. It almost about 8 months later, it hasn't been finalized. And in that 8 months, like I testified in the first meeting on the 8th of November last year, after 8 months, that was issued in November of 2017, by June of 2018, I'm not sure how many things were completed or done, but the due date was the end of November of 2017. And there was strict instructions that it should be done by the end of November, which was never done. Otherwise, there would be a fine issued for the institution according to the regulation with regard to fire safety. And it was never done. I'm not sure. And in that specific time, there was a fire, or at least a near fire, in one of the training rooms, which caused a whole panic with the staff. One of the air conditioners malfunctioned and there was smoke everywhere. We were all running around basically trying to figure out what was happening before there was only panic within the hospital. By that time, there was no major training with regard to fire safety, fire marshals, or, evacuation procedures. And that is why the fire chief never attended one of those disaster meetings that was organized also in November, because he already issued a letter stating that these issues need to be fixed and was never fixed. And the negligence of the management of Khayelitsha Hospital, they took their time getting those things fixed. I've never seen a compliance certificate. Some of the staff hasn't seen anything. So I'm not even sure when was that issued. And in the meantime, they were opening a scanner, a CT scanner lounge, opening up with also problematic exits. There was only one exit. There was no aircon in that lounge space of the CT scanner room. Even with the objection of the chief radiographer and the facilities manager that objected to there being one exit in that facility. And that was also ignored by engineers, by management, and officially the process was also opened, the lounge was opened. These are all concerns that was brought up in that first NCOP meeting in November last year. So I'm not sure what Labor Department was investigating. There were even in September in 2017, there was also somebody threw a cigarette in one of the bins. It kind of sparked. Luckily, somebody did notice it. And the staff was also panicking. They were running out of the OPD where there were pregnant women, and they didn't know what to do because there was no training taking place. So at that particular time, there was negligence with regard to management not doing anything with regard to the problem. I've spoken to staff, and they cannot confirm that there's a compliance certificate with regard to the fire department.
Thank you. If I may ask, if we can go there, those what she has mentioned is art, or you get the information from the management, or you go to yourself and check those things. How do you inspect your inspection on this? Sorry, Honorable Elephant?
Now I come to health and safety. Chair, I want to understand, if labor comes there, do they ask the people there when and where are you making your fire truck? And how often do they make the fire trial? Because there are patients there that you need to learn when the fire comes, what do we do, and all that. When they must check, when do they make a fire trial? Are they doing it monthly, or are they doing it fortnight in a month, so that the staff must be able to. Because now I heard say everybody screaming, they don't know what to do. It means they didn't have a fire drill. I mean, I myself, I had a fire drill. I can say to you, what a big tank of gas. Then I will close it just like that and say, go out. Finish and plus.
Yeah. To get that clarity, because we've got a problem, even Public Service Commission, when we ask questions here, he, instead of going inspect, he called the management. What do you expect from the management? Well, this thing is doing by the management. He said, I sit down with the management, sit in a boardroom and tell them, when you inspect things that we told that there is this and that and that, do you go and check it or do you have a certificate? Because we've got a problem here. Even people are even bribing the audit. How? Because the problem that our people, when they're inspecting, they call the same people to have a receipt of that cup. They can go and get a receipt. and give the receipt. You said this person is doing the right thing to us. He or she have got receipts. That's the problem that we have. We don't do an oversight and go down to the people, to the space. I want to know, how do you go there? If we can, as a committee, today or tomorrow, this afternoon, go to Khayelitsha, find that that door is not here, the exit door, all the things, but you have got the certificate. Do you check all those things? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll partly answer some of the questions, and then the Chief Inspector will answer some of them. Chairperson, I want to go to the issue of the fire department as well, because also, again, it's an issue of we share a platform, we share the space with other departments. There are certain areas where it's a no-go for us. It's mainly for that department. I'm glad that the fire department was involved, because it's not under our department. It's operating differently somewhere else. Their compliance documents are issued by them, and we have no involvement in their compliance documents in that sense. But what we look into, we also go, when we go to a workplace, such as Khayelitsha, for example, some of the things that we ask is risk assessment. Do you have a risk assessment? Because it's prescribed by law that you must have a risk assessment, which stipulates that I'm this type of business, this is what I do, and these are the risks identified, and these are the interventions or the ways of dealing with such risks and closing the gaps. It's one issue. But the inspectors, the way they do things, it's very practical. They are very practical, the inspectors, in their way of conducting their work. We do inspections in two ways on that particular day. First, we ask for certain documents which are prescribed by law that the employer must keep. Whether do you have these documents, we do an audit of those documents. Then we do a walkthrough. A walkthrough is what we do. We go around and look for, A, do you have fire extinguishers? Yes, there are the fire extinguishers in this point and that point. If it's not in the right place, the inspector will note that as a non-compliant. It's a contravention, because you're contravening a specific regulation in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Secondly, while we are doing the walk-arounds, we also have an obligation to actually interview the employees now. We also have an obligation that we are accompanied by a safety officer, which is residing within the institution itself, and also trade union as well. They also accompany the inspector when he's doing the round. All right.
Chair, just the issue of fire extinguishers. There is this fire, this paper that the hospital must get to see when was the fire extinguishers been checked. They need to go into that one, because sometimes it's a blown pot of a fire extinguisher next to a wall. It was checked, I think, in 2011, and it's just there without gas. When the fire comes, then you find out that this fire extinguisher is. Because if they check it, they must also check the papers. When was the fire extinguisher? But with the look of things, the way they operate at Khayelitsha, I'm sure those fire extinguishers, since they are put there, they was never checked.
And something, sir, then we conclude.
Yes, Jefferson. So while the Honourable Member is talking about fire extinguishers, there's also dates in the fire extinguisher where it should be serviced. We check those things. We'll actually look at the physical. We don't only point at it. We simply go to the fire extinguisher and look at the fire extinguisher, because there are certain things in terms of the law that we have to look at in that fire extinguisher. And then if it's not compliant, we note it. We put it in the inspector will note the non-compliance. What do we do after we have established non-compliance? That's the most important question. We have a legal document which we call a contravention notice. We've got three notices. We have a contravention notice, improvement notice, prohibition notice. Prohibition notice, we only issue the prohibition notice in cases where there is a high risk or there is a high threat that somebody might get hurt or somebody might die, and I'm just putting it in a layman's terms now, but it's designed for that, to prohibit any incident that can happen based on the inspection that is conducted by the inspector. Initial prohibition notice. If you think this can be fixed within a short period of time, you issue an improvement notice, and then you tell the person that you must do this within a specific time frame. We also, the contravention notice, you've contravened A, B, C, D in terms of the regulations, therefore you must fix these things, and then that notice is given to the employer, and he must comply with that contravention notice within 60 days. After 60 days, we go back to check whether the employer has complied with what we have established as a non-compliance. If the employer has not complied after 60 days, then we initiate prosecution process. We make recommendations to the National Prosecuting Authority to actually start prosecution processes, where now the employer will be called to go to court. Then it's the National Prosecuting Office that will decide whether this case goes to court or it doesn't go to court. In most instances, they go to court. And then where the employer will appear in court, and then it's either the employer will be subjected to imprisonment or to a fine. So in this case of Khayelitsha now, the 60 days has elapsed. A follow-up inspection has been conducted. It's a pity I do not have the information now. I think the chief has the information in relation to the follow-up inspection. And I would have, if I had the copy of that contravention notice that was issued, I would give to the chairperson so that he can see what are these contraventions which were established by the inspectors when they attended to the Khayelitsha Hospital.
Thank you, Advocate. I think we'll request the chief inspector to email the document to the secretary, because now we are rounding up this hearing, and the committee will sit alone and take decisions. So we'll be happy if we can get that one. I want to ask a question from you, legal advisor, again, sorry. Did the state attorney appointed a sheriff? Because I remember you wrote a letter instructing the state attorney to appoint a sheriff to serve those summons to the people that we expected to come here. I want to get that clarity, whether the state attorney issued those summons or appointed the sheriff.
Chair, I can confirm that they instructed the sheriff to serve the papers. Which is a bit of a concern, but you and I have had discussion around this, and I think, Chair, we can still have that discussion, and I think you and I had agreed that we need to have a meeting with the state attorney to just clarify all the issues surrounding this specific matter. Because there is a discussion that I suppose we need to have, but the instructions were issued.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Because I'm just asking myself, you instruct a sheriff to serve summons to the people, then turn around, you defend those people. Who is summoned by whom? Yeah. That's my question, but I don't want to be in discussion. Thank you, Honourable Member. That's a comment, ma'am. Thank you. Members, I think we will come up with a date with the committee to sit down and come up with recommendations to the council. We still have time to adopt those recommendations. Let me take this opportunity to thank you, all of you, who managed to come and listen to us. Thank you very much and allowing us to do our constitutional mandate. Thank you very much. God bless you. And go and vote, guys. Don't forget. Shall we thank the meeting is adjourned.